I'm reading, we're going to start at verse number 1. We're going to do just a little jump here. But verse number 1 of Psalm 24, please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Jump down to verse 6. "Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. If you're looking at me, you are not looking at your neighbor. Look your neighbor in the eye and say, neighbor,
feel
God's presence.
God's presence.
Neighbor,
feel
God's presence.
God's presence.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Feel God's Presence. You know, Phil, if we're going to be real this morning, we got to confess. There are times we just don't feel God's presence. There are times when we're dealing with stuff, going through things, and it seems like things are coming at us left, right, top, bottom, back, front. Seem like the roof is cracking and things are going all around us and we don't understand how all this happened. Lord, I'm one of your children. I love you. I care about you. So why am I in this? You see, I want you to understand that, you know, hear this clearly. We can all be doing a good thing, but it ain't the right thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because just because it's good don't make it right. We have to understand that we are governed by the word of God to do as God instructs us. And what happens is that when we don't do it according to the way God tells us to do it, and we do it wrong and we don't get the results we're looking for, we don't blame ourselves. We say God is wrong. But we got to see this and we have to understand. I got to give you the backdrop of Psalm 24. You see, Psalm 24, they say, was penned by David. Okay? And the purpose of this psalm, some theologians say that this psalm was written because for the sole purpose of when Solomon went into the temple that he had built and brought the Ark of Covenant, the Ark of God, to the temple. Well, if David wrote it, then David wasn't around when all that happened for Solomon. But I tend to believe it had to do when David brought the Ark of God to the temple in the city of David. Now, let's go back and see this. When you get a chance, go back and read 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Because that's what we're going to talk about here real quick. And what happened is that David, and he had 30,000 men with him. They had went to Baal Judah to go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to the city of David. They had got a new cart to put the Ark on, and they had all of the choir members assembled, and David was there with them to follow behind the Ark and praise God while they were in the Ark. I mean, watching the Ark come to the city. But on the way, as these oxen were pulling the cart, something got a little loose, and one of the servants, whose name was Uzzah, saw the ark slide a little bit on the cart. So he reached up and touched it. And once he touched the ark, God struck him down and killed him right there. When David saw this happen, he couldn't figure out why this happened. You see, because you know, he could be doing a good thing but not doing it the right way. And once David saw what happened, David at that point became afraid and took the ark to a man called Obed-Edom's house, which was close to where they were, who was a Gittite. He said, you know what? I'm going to leave the ark here, and I'm going to go back to my home. What we also see is the same way as how we do. When we don't get what we think we should have gotten because we did something good, then we find ourselves distancing ourselves from God. Because when we see this happens, we say, Lord, I don't understand. I did a good thing, and this good thing I did, now nothing good came of it. So whether we believe it or say it or not, we distance ourselves from the Lord. So David had distanced himself, Vicky, from the Ark of the Covenant. And as he did, the Bible tells us, I want you to know, Faye, that Obed-Edom's house was blessed. He was blessed for the 3 months that the ark was there. The Lord was blessing him and his entire household. Word got back to David that, you know, King David, I want you to know, since the ark has been with Obed-Edom and in his house, that Obed-Edom and his entire household, y'all, being blessed. Now, David had to make a decision. Do I serve a God who wants to bless me, or do I serve a God who wants to hurt me? You see, so with all this going on, David had to make a decision. You see, I was doing a good thing, but nothing good came from it. So since nothing good came from it, then do I want to go back and give it a second try? Is God telling me he's giving me a second chance to get it right so I don't make the same mistakes I made the first time? Or do I continue to keep my distance away from God? Because I'm afraid that this time it won't be one of the servants that God strikes down. It might be me. So I want to make sure I keep my distance. But then David heard that Obed-Edom and his entire household was blessed because the ark was there. So David gathers the folk up, goes and gets the ark. And this time he has the poles that go through the rings on the ark, and the Levites carry the ark. Because the ark is not supposed to be on a cart, but carried by the Levites. And the other thing that also took place is David said, just to be sure, digging out, it's what he said is this. Wait a minute. We're going to go 6 paces, and we're going to stop, and I'm going to give a sacrifice and an offering to God right here before we go any further. And as they did that, then they made their way to the city, and the people were praising God for what he was doing. David was praising God for what he was doing. And then all of a sudden they get to the tabernacle. And when they get to the tabernacle, I see David getting real excited and praising God for getting them there safely and nobody was hurt. Why? Because when you do the right thing the right way, God's going to bless it. Amen? It's not about just doing a good thing. You got to do the good thing the right way according to the will of God if you truly want to experience God's blessings. We don't want ever to put ourselves at a distance from God. We don't ever want to walk away from our blessings. We want to make sure that we stay connected with the one who has brought us this far and will take us all the way. I don't care about what happened before. If you know you messed up, don't try to throw it on God. It was what you did. God already gave you the blueprint on how to build the house, but you don't follow it and the house keeps falling. Why are you going to blame God?
All right.
You're going to blame God every time it don't come out right, but you ain't follow the blueprints. The blueprints is his word. See, but this is the backdrop behind this particular psalm. And once they came into this tent, the tabernacle, I want you to know that it truly didn't have wooden doors. It was a tent with cloth curtains in front that were considered the gates and the doors. And what David had them open the doors, and he saw the Ark of the Covenant coming in. What David said here in verse number 7 is, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. You see, the reason why it was important for them to lift up their heads is because when we do something and things don't go right, what's the first thing we do? We drop our heads. And we drop our heads and we begin to have pity parties and we try to figure out why it went wrong. But we try to find everything else that caused it to go wrong. But we never point and look at ourselves. So what David says, lift up your heads. He was encouraging himself as he was also encouraging the people. Because when the people saw that David was afraid, what did they do? Drop their heads. How did they feel? The same way David did. They wanted to get away from the ark as quickly as possible because they didn't want to be the next one who was going to get struck down. But now that the Ark of the Covenant is now coming into the temple, David says it's time for us to lift up our heads. And all you gates, and be lifted up, oh ancient doors. What the Lord is saying and using David to let us know today, my brothers and my sisters, it's time to lift up our heads because we got something to praise God for. Why? Because what we're going to do is when we lift up our heads and we open up our doors and our gates, we're going to allow the King of Glory to what? Come in. You see, my brothers and my sisters, isn't that why we're here today? Because we want to let the King of Glory to what? Come in. We ain't talking about just coming into this physical building. We're talking about coming to this tabernacle. This one right here. This one that had some dirt in it. This one that was messed up. This one that was tore up from the floor up. And the Lord is the only one who fixed it, healed it, and delivered it. And the Lord is the one we want to let come in to our lives. Why? Because he is the King of Glory. You see, I want you to understand something. When we make a decision to lift up our heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, so that the King of Glory can come in, then I want you to know that we can start to feel God's presence. Have you ever walked in church and you ain't feel like praising God? You ever come in church and you were weighed down with a whole bunch of this and a whole bunch of that? And while you were weighed down with all that stuff, but when you came in, God's house, and you lifted up your head, right, and you opened up your heart, right, and the Lord stepped into where you were and told you, you ain't got to sit there and wallow in it no more. If you've been believing in me, I will see you through. If you've been trusting in me, I'm going to bless you. Do you start to feel the presence of God in your life? And next thing you know, you find yourself rising to your feet, clapping your hands, praising God, because you understand that the Lord has been mighty good to you. No matter what I'm going through right now, I'm still going to say hallelujah anyhow. He brought me too far to turn back now. He's been healing me. He has delivered me. He is still working on me. That's why I can feel his presence right now. That's why I ain't going to shut up. That's why I ain't going to be quiet, because my God is an awesome God. He has brought me a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here feel God's presence? When you allow, good to see you, Uncle Jay. You ain't going back yet. Good to see you. Amen. As we understand that we have now lifted up our heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ancient doors, because we have let the King of Glory come in. And then David says, well, who is? Who is the King of Glory?
All right.
He's telling us the Lord, who is strong. He's strong and what? He's strong. strong and mighty. You know why I'm excited about knowing that that who is the King of glory? He is the Lord. He is strong and mighty. Don't you know if we were left all by ourselves, the enemy would have chewed us up and spit us out, Sister Pat. Don't you know the enemy right now would be pushing us with a broom right now? Don't you know we were so lost and be so discombobulated, we wouldn't know which way is up? But I want you to know, because we ain't strong enough to go up against the one who is against us, but I want you to understand, Deacon Booth, that we serve a God who is strong and mighty. And I don't care how strong the enemy is, his power and his strength can't compare to the strength of our Lord. That's how come we don't lean on ourselves, we lean on the one who is the everlasting help. We lean on the one who has the ability to get us through everything, and that's why we look to the Lord, because he is strong and mighty. Because Paul puts it best, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong, because I'm not relying on my own strength, I'm relying on the strength of the Lord. So that's him. I want you to know this today, when things start to get rough, don't try to take a deep breath and say, I got this. You take a breath and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your direction. Lord, I need your healing. Lord, no matter what goes on, I need you to hold me up. I need you to guide me. I need you to bless me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know that God is strong and mighty? Oh, but God, I got to give you this last little part here. This last little part says this. This last little part says, the Lord, he is mighty in battle. You see, David knows how God is mighty in battle. You see, because the first time that David went to battle with the Lord with him is when he was just a shepherd young man who watched over his father's sheep and just happened to go to the battlefield where his older brothers were, taking the cheese and the bread to them and to their commander. And he saw the giant, the Philistine, whose name was Goliath. He was a big brother, make Shaq look short. And don't you know, when David saw him come down to challenge the army of the living God, David saw all of them run, and he said, all I want y'all to do is send somebody out here to fight me. If I beat them, we got you. If he beats me, you got us. You servants of Saul, because they wanted him to compare. Goliath wanted them to compare Saul against him. And at that point, Saul was a big dude, but he wasn't no big as Goliath. Nowhere near as big as Goliath. But David said, wait a minute. I'll go fight him. The God, check this out. He said, the God that delivered me while I was watching my daddy's sheep, the God who guided me to defeat the bear, defeat the lion, this Philistine ain't no different than any of those predators I've come up against. And I feel God's presence in my life. And I know as long as God is with me, who can be against me? And if God is guiding me, who's going to block my blessing? If God is the one who is the head of my life, I know everything is going to be all right. And don't you know that they tried to talk David out of it? David said, he ain't going to talk me out of nothing. I know what I'm going to do. And David goes to the battlefield. Before, on his way there, he picks out of the creek 5 smooth stones. 5 stones that were aerodynamically correct. They had no lumps and bumps in them. He wanted them to be as smooth as possible, because when he put them in that sling, he wanted to make sure that they flew exactly where he wanted them to go. And when he got on that battlefield, don't you know he slayed that giant with the sling and the stone? That's why David was able to write here today, the Lord is mighty in battle. Because some folk looked at David going out there and said, that boy about to die out in that field. He wasted his time in that battlefield telling his brothers, y'all better go get your daddy right there. Go tell Jesse to come on, get a casket, because he's going to be dead in about 2 or 3 minutes. But I want you to know that when you know who the Lord is, I don't care what you come up against. I don't care how big it is, because the Lord is mighty in battle, and the Lord will take care of us on the battlefield. All he wants to know, will you walk by faith and not by sight? If you trusted in the Lord this far, why you gonna turn back now? I don't care what folks say about you. I don't care the diagnosis of the doctor. I'm gonna put my trust in God, because I know that the Lord will see me through. I know the Lord will bless me. I know the Lord will make a way out of no way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know that our God is strong and mighty in battle? He will bless you. He will keep you. He will see you through. Go on and give somebody a high five and say, my God is just good like that.
All right.
Then he says again, Sister Sarah, this is where it becomes interesting. Because when you look at Psalms, many of the Psalms were written to be sung. And that's why when you look at it, the first stanza would be verses 7 and 8. And the second stanza, we see that it starts off like many hymns that we sing. Because it seems like the first few words of that stanza are repeated. And when you look at Psalm 24, verse 7 and 9, the words are exactly the same. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may what? And then he says again, and it starts, who is the King of glory? But then check out what he says. He said, the Lord of hosts. Now, let me talk about the host part. He said that he is the Lord of hosts. You see, Brother Jay, when family comes and visit me and my wife, well, I should say it this way, visit us. My wife makes sure there's clean towels in the bedroom they're in. There's clean sheets on the bed. That room, well, it ain't messy, but making sure it's sparkling. Bathroom is good. Then we go shopping to make sure we got enough food to feed everybody. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. And you know, when folk come to my house, what they're looking for, y'all? The desserts. So we got to make sure we got all that stuff in. And in the morning, they like for me to make them some sweet potato pancakes, and I do that too. And we feed them good. We take care of them. All they got to do is bring their bags and however long they're staying. All they do is just bring the stuff that they wore, make sure they got all their little personal items. But everything else, we got covered. You know why? Because we're the host. All right. So anytime somebody come to my house, I don't ask you to bring nothing except an attitude and a good attitude. A good attitude and a good appetite.
All right. All right.
Because we're going to take good care of you while you are at the cook's residence. Because we are good hosts. But you know what? I don't care how good a host I am to those who come and visit and stay with me. I want you to know what I do care compare to the host that we have here on this earth. And that is the Lord, because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he provides for us for everything that we have. He puts a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table, a bed to sleep in, a bathroom to use, the electricity with lights, a car to drive. He takes good care of us. Why? Because he's the Lord of hosts. He gives us everything we need, when we need, and how we need. So when we think about this, what David says, who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts, which means that he takes good care of us. Anybody know that our God takes good care of you? Hasn't our God continued to bless you? Hasn't our God continued to make a way for you? Hasn't our God been there with you through thick and through thin? I tell you, we serve an awesome God who is our all in all and blesses us with everything that we need. Why? Because I feel God's presence. He is the Lord of hosts. And you know what, says he's the Lord of hosts? He's also the King of glory. And since he is the King of glory, when you look at that word glory, it is the source of everything we need. Don't you know God is the source of everything that we need? That's why we got to give God the glory. And we'll just give him the glory. We know he is the King of glory. That's how come whenever the people of God come together and assemble within God's house, I want you to know it should never be a situation where somebody is just sitting around wondering what's going to happen next. We ought to be up in here not waiting to see what's going to happen next. But I know what I'm about to do right now. I got to give God the glory. I got to praise him. I got to thank him. I got to magnify him. He brought me too far. He has done too much for me. He healed me. He made a way out of nowhere. He opened doors. He knocks down walls. He has been there with me through thick and through thin. Do I got a witness in God's house? When you know how good God is, when you know what God has done for you, you got to go on and give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. And no matter how much we praise him, we still can praise him some more. That's why the psalmist said, if I had 1,000 tongues, I could not praise him enough. You see, all this becomes possible because I can feel the presence of God. But then we got to deal with the other side of that. Mother Austin, the other side of that is that there are times we don't feel it. Can we be real? There are times we don't feel it. But that doesn't mean he ain't present. Sometimes the stuff that we're going through, we feel that a whole lot. But we ain't feeling God's presence. But what I'm telling you is that all that is just a distraction that's trying to get away your attention. You got to make it your business to say, whether I feel it or not, I know God's presence is with me. And since God's presence is with me, no matter what anybody say or no matter what anybody do, I got to thank him. Even when it seemed like everything around me ain't going right, I got to praise him. Even when it seemed like I got to do it all by myself, I'm going to go ahead. Because you just don't know what the Lord has done for me. You just don't know how he's made a way for me. You just don't know how he blessed you to be here for 95 plus years. And in a few weeks, it's going to be 96. When you think about how good our God is, my brothers and my sisters, you just can't be quiet about it. Brother Phil, folk look at you, but you know what? I'm going to praise him. No matter what, he's been mighty good for me. Brother Jay, I know when you was out there, I know some of those Coast Guard missions and the water got the boat going all kinds of directions. But guess what? Didn't the Lord bring you through all that? Aren't you still here right now? We got all of us in here who has been through something. No matter what you've been through, I want you to know that you got to remember that God's presence is always there with you. Whether you can feel it or not, you got to go on and thank him because he is a mighty good God. So no matter what you say about me, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to give him the honor. I'm going to give him the praise because he has been mighty good to me. Has God been good to you? Has God been blessing you? Has God been there with you through thick and through thin? I don't know how you can sit down right now when you think about all that the Lord has done for you. It make you just want to break out and do your own dance because you just don't know how good my God has been to me. You just don't know what he brought me through. And I know somebody in here know what I'm talking about. If you know what I'm talking about, put your hand back and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I think about where he brought me from, I can't help but praise him. Mm-hmm. When I think about how dirty this temple used to be.
Amen.
And he made a decision. Mm-hmm. You ever go visit somebody and their house was so dirty that when you stepped in, you made an excuse about how come you got to leave real soon? Just look ahead. Nobody knows who you're talking about. Look ahead, look ahead, look ahead. But you know what? When God saw the condition of your house, mm-hmm. and then when he, that ain't smell good either. But you know what God didn't do? He didn't make an excuse. Brother Lionel to say, I got to go. You know what he did? He rolled up his sleeves and he began to clean house. You see, that's why we can feel God's presence. Because we know the mess that we used to be. How the Lord cleaned it from the top room all the way down to the basement. Ain't nothing dirty up in the house no more. Every now and then something get out of place. But that's why we keep inviting the King of Glory to come on in. Because, Lord, we understand that every now and then we might put somewhere they're supposed to be and we need you to fix it. So, Lord, we don't want to get out of sync with what you've done with us. We don't want to mess up what you cleaned up. So, Lord, that's why we just got to keep on inviting you in. And that's why we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is taking up permanent residence inside of this body. Until this body goes back to the earth, then it goes back to be with the Father, and the soul goes to be with the Father, and that which came from the earth goes back to the earth. But while we are in it, and while we are cohabitating in it, don't you know that Lord helps keep it clean? So you see why we got so much to thank and praise God for? Because he didn't leave us a stinky mess. He cleaned us up. And that's why we can feel God's presence.
All right.
Do you feel it? Sometimes it just brings you to tears and you just don't know why. Sometimes it just calls you to hug yourself and you just don't know why. Sometimes it just makes you stand and shout and you just don't know why. But I'm here to tell you the why is because you are feeling God's presence in your life.
All right.
So what am I saying to you today? God loves you. And when you do a good thing the wrong way and it doesn't work, don't ever distance yourself from your blessings. God was reminding David, you distance yourself from your blessing. So since you distance yourself from your blessings, I'm going to bless the person who's got me close.
All right.
That's why some folk get mad at other folk in church. Because they decided to distance themselves, but you didn't. And they're watching you be blessed. So rather than getting mad at them, praise God for what he's doing with it. Because if he can do it in them, he can also do it in you.
All right.
Don't be jealous of what God's doing in somebody else's life. When you do, you're blocking your own blessing. Feel God's presence. Are you here this day? And you found yourself distancing yourself from the presence of God? God, I was doing a good thing, but you ain't do it the right way. There are some good folk who gonna go to hell, and there's some folk you're gonna see in heaven and say, well, why are they here? Let me help you understand. Y'all remember when Jesus was crucified? He was in the middle, and on his left and his right were two folk who deserved to be crucified based on the laws of that time. One of them mocked him. He said, if you save others, save yourself, and don't forget about me. And he mocked Jesus. And the other one said, man, don't you know we're here because of what we've done? He hasn't done anything wrong. And he said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. So what does that tell us? If you want to get things right with God, you must first give God reverence. And it's not just enough to give him reverence. You got to embrace and accept who he is for yourself. And once you do, then you'll realize that whatever you're doing for the Lord, it's going to be good. And it's going to be right. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. If you just made a sacrifice to come to church today, you ain't getting nothing out of it. If you just came here to make a sacrifice, you ain't getting nothing out of it. But if you're here to say, Lord, I came because I need your help,
all right,
then God's got something for you. Yeah.